Dear congregation, due to its location and the wind coming over the eastern hills, storms suddenly came down on the Sea of Galilee. Suddenly in your life, a storm may suddenly come down upon you. And as we shall see this morning, the Lord's followers are not exempt from stormy weather. This world is not heaven. In heaven, right at this very moment, there is such perfect calm, such tranquility, such stillness. No wonder it's a desired haven we read of in Psalm 107. Oh, what quietness. Oh, what joy and happiness there is in heaven. However, here upon earth, often the winds of adversity blow upon us. The wind blows and we find ourselves in trouble. Psalm 116, verse 3, the psalmist said, I found trouble and sorrow. We don't have to travel far, do we? We don't have to look far. We so often find it right before us. Oh, then turn often and focus on your captain, as we will consider this morning. Look to him and take heart. He will see you through. Well, we come to this well-known account. I'd like us to consider two things this morning, the Lord enabling. First of all, the disciples and the storm. And then secondly, Jesus and the storm. Firstly, the disciples and the storm. And then secondly, Jesus and the storm. Well, let's just read again, verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Well, first of all then, the disciples and the storm. On a certain occasion, after the feeding of the 5,000, our Lord constrained his disciples to get into a ship, as we notice there in verse 22. He compelled them. He made them get into that ship to go before him unto the other side, as we note there in verse 22. There'd been much activity. There being the feeding of the 5,000, but the Lord straightway constrained his disciples afterwards to get into a ship. And so they do so. They obey the Lord, they get into the ship, and they begin their journey across the Sea of Galilee. And they find themselves, after a little while, directly in the pathway of a storm. Suddenly a storm came down upon them. Out of the blue, this storm descended upon them. And so we read in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the midst of the sea, there they were. They couldn't go back. No, they were in the midst. They were to go forward, but oh, they were in great difficulty. Here they are then, the disciples in the storm. And I like us to consider firstly, the followers of Jesus were experiencing this difficulty. Those close followers found themselves in a storm. They'd spent much time with the Lord. Just consider it, children. They heard his voice here upon earth. They saw him. One day we have the wonderful sight of seeing the Lord in heaven, where they saw him here upon earth and they listened to him and they witnessed his miracles. They just witnessed this amazing miracle. The feeding of the 5,000. What power! And they would have been amazed. They were aware of his greatness. They were aware of his power. They'd been helped so much by our Lord. Yet these ones were facing a storm. And we've been blessed by the Lord. We've borne witness of his power, have we not, in our own conversion, how the Lord has turned us. And we've seen subsequently in our lives how the Lord has helped us and strengthened us. We've borne witness of his power. We've heard his voice through the word, yet we still face storms. We know that nearness at times. We're in union with Christ, yet we're not exempt from storms. Consider the fishermen who were here in the ship. They had what we call sea legs. My brother-in-law Mike has sea legs. He spent some time on a submarine and he also has a boat and he enjoys going out. And I recall a couple of years ago, one winter's afternoon on a Saturday, went down to see my mum and dad, and my brother-in-law and my sister were there visiting. But my brother-in-law, he had gone on just down to Mudderford on this windy, damp winter's evening. And there he was, afternoon, late afternoon, there he was in the cold fishing. And he really enjoyed it. Not my cup of tea. I don't have sea legs. I wouldn't want to go out into a boat. But these fishermen, they had sea legs. They were experienced men. But they find themselves in this difficulty, in the storm. These followers of Jesus, these experienced fishermen, were in a storm. And you who follow the Lord, we know all too well we face storms in life. We may be a little older as a Christian here this morning. We experienced in certain things, yes, much more to learn, but we've learned a number of things. We're older in the faith. Here we face storms, and that's a lesson here. We're not exempt from storms, are we? We may have known the Lord for just a while or a little longer. We're not exempt from storms. This world is not heaven. We must expect tribulation. And did not our Lord tell those disciples, in the world ye shall have tribulation? We are going to have tribulation. Yes, there will be the still waters. And we're thankful for that, aren't we? We're thankful for those times we know when we know a little rest and the calm. But there will be the storms. We face storms. We look back this morning upon our lives as believers. We've been through storms, haven't we? We may be in a present storm. We're here, the followers of Jesus. They face the storm. Let's consider secondly here, the storm that hit. The storm that hit, verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Last year I watched a clip of some friends crossing the Atlantic on a cruise ship. I'm glad I wasn't with them. It was so rough. And the ship went up, this cruise ship went up, and you saw this mighty wave coming towards it again, and it crashed down. And up again, the stabilizers were out. You know what they are, young people, stabilizers on a big ship or on a ferry. I remember years ago crossing the Southampton water, and I was in panic because the captain had said, we've just put the stabilizers out. That was to stabilize the ship or the ferry, just a little ferry, the red funnel. Well, this storm that my friends were facing, mighty wave. And the waves came crashing down upon this large ship. Well, think of this little boat, this little ship the disciples were in. Oh, the waves were crashing down upon them and water was coming in. A storm had hit. And that's how it is at times, isn't it? Storms hit you. Sometimes, like here, they're out of the blue, aren't they? You may have woken up in the morning and it's a bright morning and all seems calm. But then suddenly a storm hits, like it did here. Storms come. One day we will be in heaven, and the storms will rage without us. There'll be no storm in heaven. But here, suddenly storms hit us. Sometimes we see them coming, sometimes out of the blue. Well, let's consider a few storms that we face. First of all, the storm of sickness. A storm of sickness. Suddenly, you feel a pain. And you're concerned, what is it? You may put it off for a few days, but the pain doesn't go. And after a while, you think, well, perhaps I ought to go to the doctor. Some of a sickness comes. And we know discomfort. And there's the long nights of pain. There's the storm that has hit us in this way. And there can be fear. What is this pain? What's going to happen? The storm of sickness comes. Secondly, the storm of persecution. How people can hurl such unkind words of abuse against us. Received a phone call yesterday. It wasn't pleasant. Words were said against me. Suddenly, words can be said. People can be against you. But then further, we can think of the storm of persecution. How many of our brothers and sisters are facing great persecution? Unkind words have been said against them, and they found themselves in prison. Talking earlier to Annette, I opened the ET last night, and there I caught the name Eritrea, and there was a picture of a container. And yes, we read the report, we're thankful that a number of Christians have been released, but then a number of Christians have been arrested and find themselves in that container like Pastor Okba of old. What persecution, what words are said, unkind words, sharp, piercing, painful words, as we see in Psalm 57. To some measure we can face persecution. Unkind words are said against us, suddenly a storm comes, and there's such unkind words coming down upon you, and you feel it. Thirdly, the storm of temptation. The storm of temptation. We don't often think of this one, do we? But a storm of temptation. It's got dark, and there's temptations around you. Fiery darts swiftly come, like as the lightning in a storm. You think of a whirlwind, particularly out in North America, a whirlwind or tornado, and those wooden houses and lying in the path of the tornado, they're suddenly whipped up and pieces of wood are hurled around, and those out there, they've got to run for cover, for the storm place covers, because those pieces of wood can be hurled right in their direction. Oh, the fiery darts can be hurled right in your direction. But then also, temptations can arise from within. Temptations swiftly can come, swiftly descend upon us. Don't think like that. Don't worry about gazing longer, maybe, about something on the television or on the smartphone. We have to toil hard. Oh, the storm of temptation comes. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And the Lord has made plain in his word, we will face temptation. And so we need to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. How often do we pray such a prayer? You know, when we think of that directory for prayer, that pattern for prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, it's so helpful, isn't it? And it's good to think of it often, that we might so be helped to pray and to remember certain things we're to pray for, such as lead us not into temptation. Fourthly, a storm of sorrow. A storm of sorrow. As we saw earlier, the psalmist said, I found trouble and sorrow. Suddenly it comes. We're not looking for it, but a storm of sorrow comes. This great sorrow. In Nehemiah 2, verse 2, the king said, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Sorrow comes and it fills the heart and it's felt within. You know, when you're out in a storm, you feel the wind and you feel the rain on your face. At times we can feel the sorrow so near to us in the heart. There's a storm of sorrow. Remember the children of Israel? They faced great sorrow in the land of Egypt. At the burning bush, the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 3, verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. They were in bondage, they were suffering. What a storm that was, a storm of persecution, but also there was that storm of sorrow that had filled their hearts. Sorrow's on the horizon, and it comes near, and it fills the soul. It comes. And one can know sadness. And one can know sadness day after day. The psalmist did in Psalm 13, verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long? Yes, we seek to focus on the Lord. We seek to praise him. We seek to rejoice in the Lord and Yes, we can know a little joy as we think of Jesus and his love to us and what he did for us upon the cross, and when we consider his helping hand and his supporting hand, his comforts, as we will note in a moment, we can know a little joy, but still the sadness is there. You think of some storms, they're slow moving. You know, you can look at the weather forecast. There's rain, but it's going to take a while to move on, sometimes they say. Thankfully, if you notice the weather report Friday evening, it was different to the reality. The rain moved quicker on Saturday, doesn't it? And it stopped raining. I had a message from South Wales. Is it sunny there in the New Forest? I said, no, but it's not raining like you in Wales. Sometimes the storms move quickly, but sometimes the storms take a while to move. And that's how it is sometimes with the storm of sorrow that's in the soul. How long shall I have sorrow in my heart, having sorrow in my heart daily? The storm of sorrow settles, and it settles in. Oh, we long for it to move quickly, but sometimes it doesn't, does it? So then there are a number of different storms that hit us, and it's hard going. Let's just turn over to the parallel passage in Mark 6 and verse 48. There we read this. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. He saw them toiling. Now, just pause there. What comfort there is in those words. And what comfort when we think of it. He sees us toiling. We'll come back to that, but just notice the toiling. In the storms we face as the Lord's people, we can find ourselves so toiling. It's hard going. Remember again, these are experienced fishermen. They were toiling though in the storm. Have you ever rowed a boat? It's not easy if you're not experienced like me. You need to pull together if you have one oar each. You pull together. I couldn't get the hand of it many years ago when I was a youngster. And we went round in circles on the river near Christchurch with my wife, to be that was, in the boat. And my wife's cousin, we went round in circles. Wasn't easy. But these experienced fishermen, they were pulling together, but it was hard work. They were toiling. And that's how it often can be. It's hard in the storm, and it's hard as you seek to battle on. So the storm that hit, has a storm hit you? We're thankful the Lord has brought us through a number of storms. You may be in a present storm. Take comfort. The Lord sees you, and the Lord will bring you through. It may be calm for you at this present time to some measure. Don't be surprised. We've learned by experience that storms can suddenly arise and come upon us. The Lord's people face storms. But let's consider thirdly now, alone. As we think of this, the disciples in the storm, they were alone on this occasion. Now on another occasion recorded for us in Matthew 8 verse 24, the Lord was with them. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. He was asleep. He needed rest, as we saw the other evening. But he was there. But not on this occasion. He had gone up into a mountain. Just follow this through. Turn with me to verse 23. He had gone up into a mountain, having constrained his disciples previously to get into a ship. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Been a busy day. He went up the mountain alone to pray to the Father. And there's a lesson, isn't it? Oh, to get alone with the Lord in prayer. As we will consider again tonight, Jacob wrestling with the Lord at Peniel. Well, he wasn't with the disciples in the storm. Now, he is with us all the time. There is that promise Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is with his people in a certain way all the time. However, there are times when we feel alone. We may not be aware of him. Or, as we see in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, he has withdrawn a little. Not totally. That will never happen. But he's withdrawn a little. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. There's times when we feel alone and we cry out with Job in Job 23, verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Is the disciples there in a storm? Where's the Lord? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. It happens at times. We don't sense the Lord. Job, who knew much of the blessing of the Lord, he didn't sense the Lord. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I know he's there, but where is he? We can feel lonely like Elijah. You remember after a long time of difficulty, we read in 1 Kings 19, verse 14, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He felt the loneliness. The disciples, they were alone. We can feel the loneliness. Sometimes we struggle to sense the Lord in prayer. Sometimes in a storm, when the way is hard and we're toiling, we cry out, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Lord, where art thou? One's praying, Lord, but where art thou? Oh, draw near to me. Take comfort, he's watching. Mark 6, verse 48, and he saw them toiling in rowing. He wasn't unaware. You may at times feel alone, but the Lord's not unaware. He sees you. He sees you toiling. He sees you when it's hard going. He sees you struggling. He sees you when you feel lonely. He sees you, and he is near to you. Fourthly, the darkness. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. It was night time. It was dark. The storm had come. When it was dark. Now sometimes you can go out in the dark on a cold winter's evening when there's no clouds and you can admire the beauty of the winter sky, the night time, the stars are out, the moon's out, sometimes you can see certain planets and there's a beauty, and I've often thought of those words, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But when there's clouds, it's dark, isn't it? You can't see. When the storm clouds are gathered and you feel the darkness, it can be so hard. Finding your way in the dark isn't easy, is it? When there's no stars out, when you're in the darkness of affliction, a storm has come and it's already dark with some of a trial, it's cloudy. Hard to focus on the word, hard to focus on Jesus. It may be confusing. I just think of it here. The disciples were sent out over the Sea of Galilee into a storm. And you may say, well, was it really meant to be this way? Well, why have we come this way? If we're to cling that the Lord sent us that way. But oh, it can be so dark and we can feel the darkness. And we need to pray, Lord, I'm confused, therefore show me the way. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Psalm 25, young people, that's a precious psalm, isn't it? Show me thy ways. I'm struggling, help me to focus. Help me to lean on thee. Take hold of my hand. Now in Isaiah 50, verse 10, we read, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You face the storm and it's getting darker. Which way? Lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord in the dark. Lean on your guide. Look to your captain. Sometimes, as one of old wrote, the darkness deepens it gets darker. Well, it does get darker, doesn't it, before the daybreak, before the day of blessing. It may be very dark, but oh, there will be the daybreak. There will be the returning light. You'll be aware of him in a storm, and it gets dark and darker, but oh, the Lord is looking on. Fifthly, fear. Fear. Now on that crossing recorded for us in Matthew 8 verse 25 we read, Lord save us, we perish. Lord save us, we perish. They were fearful. The Lord was with them on that occasion. He'd been asleep, but they wake him up. Lord save us, we perish. They were fearful. Experienced fishermen in the boat. They'd gone through storms before, but this was such a ferocious storm. They thought they were about to perish. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why are ye so fearful? Now on this occasion there was cause for fear. They were alone, they were in a storm. But then we read in verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They didn't recognize who it was. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. The time is passing, so we'll come back to this next week. But consider, the Lord in mercy was coming towards them, but they didn't recognize him, and they become even more fearful. They're in a storm. They're toiling hard. They're exhausted. It's dark, and they seem to be getting darker. The storm seems to be intensifying. They're fearful already, and now they're even more fearful. They see what they thought was a spirit, as we notice in verse 26. It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. This fear grips them. You know how it is, you begin to become a little fearful. We look to the Lord, but we're all human, aren't we? Isn't it interesting how often in Scripture we are told, fear not, or be not afraid? So many times we're told that, and why are we told it? Because we do get fearful, don't we, to some measure. We do get afraid. Precious are the words in Isaiah 41 verse 10 and Isaiah 41 verse 13 to begin with. Fear not. Fear not is the word to the Lord's people. And why? Because we do get fearful. These disciples, they saw the Lord. They've been with the Lord. Those true disciples in the boat. And yet they became fearful. Are we not thankful the Lord comes? We'll see this next week. And he speaks a word to console us in our times of fear. Well, here they are then. They see the Lord, but they don't recognize him. They say it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. The unknown. And they're fearful. Fears can arise. A storm can suddenly hit and it's hard going and you begin to get fearful, and then you suddenly plunge into great fear. The fears intensify. Oh, you're looking to the Lord. Lord, bring peace to my soul, calm my heart. But oh, there seems to be the fears intensify. He will answer your prayer in his good time. But at that time, it seems the fears intensify. They arise within. We see something on view, some storm coming. We see something which we haven't seen before. There's fears about the unknown, fears about the enemy, fears about some sickness, fears about some financial difficulty. We can be fearful. Turn with me to Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Here's a word of comfort to those who are fearful. Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Say to them of a fearful heart, have you some fear in your heart? I remember as a child being fearful at times. To them who have of a fearful heart, here's a word of comfort to the fearful, of a fearful heart. It's in my heart, Lord. Fear not. Be strong. Fear not. Sixthly and finally this morning, sinking, sinking. The Lord's coming to them. We'll note this next week. What mercy or what compassion he came to them. They cry out to the Spirit. They cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. We'll note this next week. He's looking to Jesus. But then he looks at the wind, which was boisterous. And he begins to sink. He's walking through the Lord's strength. But then he finds himself sinking. He's sinking in the storm, beginning to sink. It's not a pleasant feeling, is it? I remember on a walk in the forest many years ago, somewhere in the middle of the forest, we were walking with some friends at the church in Totten, and we came across this area, and it was a lovely area, and there was this pathway going through, but what we didn't know, there was sinking mud just on off the path, and we walked straight into it, and we began to sink. Not a pleasant feeling, is it, when you begin to sink? It's hard work already. It's dark. There's a ferocious storm. And you begin to sink. It's not a pleasant feeling, is it? You're sinking. You begin and you keep sinking. But as we shall see next week, the Lord will come and support you. You will not sink all the way down. You will go sinking, maybe, but to a limit. But here it is, sinking in the storm. Not pleasant, is it? But as we shall see, the Lord will come and help you. Well, before we draw to a close this morning, consider another storm that the Lord Jesus Christ himself faced for us in saving us. In Psalm 69, verse 1, we read, Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. He was facing the storm of God's wrath. Psalm 88, verse 7, Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Here's our Lord. He's in a storm of God's wrath. And he's facing the wrath of God. He's been afflicted with the waves of God's wrath. That you would be delivered. That you would be helped in life through the storms you face. That you would be preserved. And that you would be brought to the desired haven. He faced a storm. That you would know the golden shore of heaven. He faced a storm. So that you would be preserved here upon earth. Oh, what a storm. Spurgeon commenting, he pictures God's wrath as breaking over him like waves of the sea, which swell and rage and dash with fury upon the shore. Oh, what our captain faced for us, what he endured, that we would be saved, that we would be preserved in the storms we face, and that we at last would go home to heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, we face storms, but let us be thankful we have a captain who comes to us and helps us in the storms we face. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless his word. And may the Lord help us again next week as we consider Jesus in the storm from these words. May the Lord bless you for his name's sake. Amen.